How's that? Now see, this is weird because usually when I have the microphone on and can talk over you, everybody's continuing their conversation for a second, and when here when I don't have a microphone, everybody was real quiet. Good morning again, now that I'm amplified. I don't have a lot to add to the printed announcements, but I do hope if you're a middle or high school youth that you'll check out page 7 of the bulletin, the Davidson Lutheran Youth. We're going to be serving at the First Lutheran Church Clothing Closet on Saturday, and this is for anybody who doesn't have the clothes that they need to come in and get what they need, and they have some good clothes, and they usually have a good crowd of people gathered as clients for that program, and we'll be working to help shepherd those people through, and we'll learn a little bit more about that. But we're just going to meet there at 8:30 on Saturday, so I hope many of you will be able to join us for that. We welcome this morning Robert Wilson, who's playing the organ for us this morning. Judy's at a family wedding this weekend, so Robert's been kind enough to fill in with us. And I was not particularly kind to him in that I put some page numbers in the bulletin that are not what we're doing today. And so I'll try to help you through that. But the first time it's going to come into play is instead of the Kyrie being page 213, it will be 203. And my apologies for that, but I'll try to announce those so it doesn't get too terribly confusing. We're doing the same thing that we've been doing for weeks now. We just got some page numbers in there that are different, but I'll walk you through it. Are there other announcements we need to especially point out? Tina.
I was just going to say, anyone who's
Thank you. I think Tina can usually be heard, but if you would, not on Halloween, but on the 27th, you want to do a trunk or treat out here, talk to Tina. I know we have a few prayer shawls. Are there other announcements before we move to prayer shawls this morning? Let's do our prayer shawls.
So these prayer shawls are for Raven's husband, Tim. His mother passed away this week, so I have one for Tim, West Virginia colors. He will like that. And his sister, Teresa, and then his dad, Ben. So if you'll bless these.
Morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone here today on
Pastor Appreciation Day. If you have a card that you filled out, we have a memory box up here that you can put those cards in for Pastor Matt.
That being said, we got a little something to read to you here. Pastor Matt. You teach us from the Bible, words of love and so much more. Your dedication to God's word is something we are grateful for. You show us Christ is surely the answer and that he'll strengthen us each day. You never seem weary helping others along the way. Full of wisdom, guidance, and loving concern, and your encouragement means so much. We're so blessed that you're our pastor and our lives you've truly touched. Thank you for your leadership, your faithfulness, and your heart. May God bless you. From Holly Grove Lutheran Church.
Thank you. Thanks, sir. Appreciate it. I gather there's lunch after today. So we'd love to have you join us. You all have been kind to sneak around on me and set this up today, and I'm grateful. I've seen a lot of pictures scrolling through that I I haven't necessarily seen all of before. So Chip, I might have to have you send me some of these because I've not seen all these. So thank you. Other announcements before we continue with our prelude today? We'll prepare our hearts and minds with the prelude. Oh, I am thrown all out of loop. Thank you, Chip. We wish happy birthday this week to Aldine, Tammy, Keith, Carrie, Logan, and we wish happy anniversary to Greg and Gyla and Dean and Tony. Other folks we should add to that list? Let's pray for them. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand as we continue on page 94 in the front of your book. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, for the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue on page 203. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, your bountiful goodness fills all creation. Keep us safe from all that may hurt us, that whole and well in body and spirit, we may with grateful hearts accomplish all that you would have us do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will join me this way for a children's message. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Steps are getting full this morning. Hello, everyone. I have something right here that I want to give to each of you guys, and I'd like you to use it this week. Who can read and tell me what that says? Thank you. Yeah. Okay, so I'm not thanking you for anything, first of all, we should be clear. But we're going to hear a story today about Jesus who heals 10 people of their sickness, which is an amazing thing. But something kind of funny happens. Jesus heals 10 people, and you know how many people come back to say thank you? One. Only one. What happened to the other 9 people? We don't know is what happens. And maybe they're wonderful people and they just got so caught up and they were so excited they wanted to go tell their friends and family. But being grateful and thankful for what God has done for us is one of the best things that we can do as people of God to keep our lives grounded in the love of God and our calling to serve God and all people. So what I want to ask you guys to do this week is to spend some time being grateful. And so I'm going to give everybody one of these cards. Marcus, here's one for you. Everett, will you help me hand these out, bud? Could you give one of these to everybody? Why don't you get started with those? We'll see how far we get. And here you go. So what I want you to do with this card is I want you, when you get home today maybe, to talk with your parents about who is somebody. Look at this. We got the perfect number of these. Hannah, we'll get one for you later maybe. I want you guys to talk about who is somebody that it would be good to say thank you to in your life, and then maybe your parents can help you make this card and decorate it, and that's really good practice. I'm not always very good at writing thank you notes, but finding ways to be thankful for what people do for us is a big deal. And the biggest deal is we're so thankful for what God has done for us in Jesus. God loves us, God claims us, God calls us and saves us, and so we don't have to worry about that, and we're so thankful for that. In our lives, then we can live in service and love of God. So, what's your homework assignment? What are you going to do with this card? Yeah, what are you going to do, Gavin? Find somebody in your life that does something that you're thankful for, that you don't think about all the time necessarily, and write them this thank you card. And if you want to decorate it and draw on it, your parents could maybe help you with that. Does that sound okay, Ashton? Yeah. I did say that. Yeah. But you have all week. How about this? Think of it as something fun to do that you get to take church home with you. How does that sound? Better. Yeah, better. Okay. Yes, Ashton. You have a new best friend. Well, that is wonderful. I'm so thankful that you have friends in your life. So you guys are going to take these cards and be thankful and share that thanks with somebody. And I hope that helps remind you how we're thankful for God this week. Will you pray with me? Lord God, thank you.
Thank you.
Help us to remember to say that. Amen. Okay, so Children's Church today is going to line up at the door, and I think you guys are going to practice some music that you might share with us later in the service. Thank you, thank you.
Reading for the 18th Sunday after Pentecost is from 2 Kings. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who was in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abama and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something different, would you have not done it? How much more when all he said was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm for today is Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever.
He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful.
He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant.
He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of nations.
The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy.
They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness.
He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have an understanding. His praise endures forever.
The second reading is a reading from 2 Timothy. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David, that is my gospel, for which I must suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure: if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by Him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Seated. I know some pastors who have a go-to line for airplane conversations, so that when the chatty passenger in the next seat asks, "So what do you do for a living?" and you've been laid over for hours now, and you're on that last leg home, these pastors don't hesitate because they've got it ready to go. They say, "Oh, I work in the nonprofit world," or "I do community relations," or something like that. It's sort of true, right? But really, they're just trying to avoid a long philosophical discussion about religion with this person that they just met, that they're strapped in next to for the next 2 hours. And I get it. When you're jet-lagged and on your last leg home, all you want to do sometimes is sink into the seat, put on your earbuds, close your eyes, and pretend that you are anywhere else besides this aluminum tube that's about to be flying through the air. But I've also heard some pastors tell some stories of some pretty great conversations on airplanes, and one of them went like this. On finding out that he was seated next to a passenger, the seatmate delved deeply into his own personal beliefs about God and the church. It was a long discourse with a lot of personal history, but it had 3 basic themes. The first one, "I believe in God and the saving power of Jesus." Second theme, "I'd do anything for Jesus. If I had to, I'd die for my faith." And the third one, "But church is not for me. It's boring. I don't get anything out of it. I can worship in my fishing boat," so on, right? So the patient pastor let all this play out for an hour or so before he finally felt compelled to make his own point, just before landing, mind you, so that if it didn't go well, we wouldn't be stuck with this for too much longer. And he said, "You love Jesus?" And the man said, "Yes, of course I do." "And you do anything for him, for your faith? I mean, even die, you said?" "Yes, if it came to it, if somebody had a gun to my head and asked me to renounce God or die, I'd let them pull the trigger." "Well, I hear you," said the pastor, "but I have a hard time believing you're willing to die for what you believe in when you aren't even willing to spend an hour a week being bored for what you believe in. How is that possible?" And for that one, the man had no answer. As sinful people, we tend to want really big things from God. We're like the 10 lepers, or like Naaman, the great general. "Give us healing, Lord, make it right, bring us salvation. And the amazing thing is, God does big things for us. The lepers are healed. Naaman's flesh is restored like that of a young boy. We receive salvation through Jesus and the promise that all things will be made new. Turns out, God has no problem with big things. But I think we tend to have a problem with the little ones, don't we? Oh yeah, if it came to it, I'd die for my faith. But what about living for it? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to be about the little, common expressions of our faith day in and day out? Are we committed to those? Because I've never actually been threatened with death for what I believe, but I've had plenty of opportunities to make small, meaningful choices for the sake of the kingdom of God. Dozens of them sometimes in a single day. Are we as committed to those choices? To help the person in need or to keep going, to see the ways that injustice has hold on the world or to turn a blind eye, to give money, time, resources to the kingdom's purpose or to keep it for ourselves, to carve out room for worship and prayer in our lives or to do something else that by our choices we have decided we value more. To turn back to the one who has healed us, or to go on about our business now that that healing has rid us of a nuisance in our lives. I think it's these little places, the little decisions that we might not even pause to consider, where the battles of our faith are won or lost. Jesus says to the one who does turn back, somewhat incredulous, "Were not 10 made clean? Where are the other 9? They couldn't be bothered to give praise to God for what God has done." All 10 of these lepers had some measure of faith, I think. They did call out to Jesus for mercy, and all 10 of them received God's blessings. They're healed. But only one seems to have been changed by what has happened. Only one reevaluates his priorities based on the reality of God's saving work. So how about us? Are we changed by our healing and salvation? Or do we just take whatever God will give us and go on with life as normal? Makes me think of the meme. Maybe you've seen it. It's this bright-eyed woman. She's smiling and she's holding up her cup of coffee. And the caption reads, "Drink coffee. Do stupid things faster and with more energy," right? Is that what salvation is like for us? Do we receive the promise of God's kingdom only to be about stupid things instead of kingdom ones? When we realize that we have been redeemed, healed, made right with God, do we also change the trajectory of our lives in big and little ways to look more like Jesus? Or do we simply accept our salvation as a way to focus on doing the same old things with less anxiety and more abandon? Despite our inconsistency, what we do know is this: God shows up, and we don't have to do a thing for that to happen. 2 Timothy reminds us that even when we are faithless, God remains faithful. It's pure grace. In the big things and in the small, God is faithful. To the 10 lepers, to Naaman, to us, completely apart from our deserving, God claims us and saves us. And that part's all clear. It's a done deal. What remains to be seen is what we will do. Do we respond in thanksgiving? Do we fall at the feet of Jesus in worship, prayer, and generous living? Willing to die for what we believe in is one thing, but how about this? Are we willing to be inconvenienced for the sake of God's kingdom? In gratitude for what God has done, are we changed? Because I doubt that most of us will have the chance to die for what we believe, but we all have the chance to live for it. Amen.
Let us confess what we believe with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Knowing the one in whom we trust, and with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all in need. Increase the faith of your church. Give us courage when we hesitate to share your love. Renew us in your holy calling, according to your own purpose and grace, Lord, in your mercy. Great are your works, O Lord, and we delight in the wonder and majesty of creation. And all the earth brings forth its fruit. Renew your creation so that all creatures are sustained and nourished. Lord, in your mercy. The heritage of nations belongs to you, and your spirit fills the earth. Bless presidents, prime ministers, and chancellors, lawmakers, judges, governors, and county officials, so that they may reflect your faithfulness and uprightness in their work for the people. Lord, in your mercy, you wash us and we are made clean. In your compassion, immerse all who are sick, suffering, and in need of your care, especially Burnett, Gary, Bill, Joanne, Jana, Walter, Bobby, Sheila, Aldine, Lydia, Walt, Barbara, family of Barbara Gwaltney, Noah, Kevin, James, Vince, Lore, Tyler, Judy, Al, Robert, Joyce, Bill and Becky, Gary, Garland, Jackie, the family of Jan Sprinkle, the family of Margaret Emily Mako Frank, the family of Norma Hilton, Clestone, Kenneth, Charlotte, Antonio, our servicemen and women all over the world, and those who are unemployed looking for work. Heal us even when there may be no cure, and give us thankful hearts, Lord, in your mercy. You called a people to be your own, and yet you have shown limitless love and mercy to people of every nation. Open our hearts so that, like you, we welcome the stranger in our midst. Lord, in your mercy. Trusting and delighting in you, we commend all our lives into your loving hands. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We share a sign of Christ's peace.
Thank you. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks and praise to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Oh.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Oh,
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We'll say our mission statement, which is on page 5 of your bulletin. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
So let us return thanks for our lunch. So let us pray. Lord, thank you for family and friends, especially for Pastor Matt today. Thank you for times like these where we can gather together, share food, drink, and relax. Please bless this meal and all that it means. May the food nourish us and the fellowship enrich our lives. Most of all, may we always invite you into our homes and into our hearts. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.